Welcome back. This is the FPL Experiment Podcast. Three mates with one FPL squad, and this is our target for the season. We want to finish in the top 50,000 teams. Thanks for joining us as we take on the mission. We're going to discuss Game Week 22, and we're going to make some plans as well for Game Week 23 that's coming up. Greg Shaw is in the house. We are recording the podcast on Wednesday night when Leeds are currently playing. So I don't know how much we're going to get from Greg tonight. It might just be Nick and I that need to lead things. Greg, how are things going at the moment?
In life or with Leeds losing?
Are the two not connected?
Well, they are. They run concurrent with one another constantly. No, I'm good. I'm re-energized. I've just downed a cup of tea and gobbled up two rich teas. So I am ready to go.
Yeah, so we are actually recording two podcasts tonight. We've done one already. We've just recorded the Scout the Game Week podcast with Sam Bonfield from FPL Family. So watch out for that. Nick, how did you find it? How did you rate your performance?
Yeah, I'd give myself a, I don't know, like 7.5. I think I came out of it all right, yeah. So thank you for having us, Sam.
Sam's lovely, isn't she?
Yeah, really nice, yeah.
Do you want to quickly, before we get into fantasy football, talk about the important stuff and my surprise dinner for tonight?
Always. Yes, please. Yes, I'd love to hear that.
Nick, it has been mentioned actually that from the previous podcast, you were doing quite a few noises when I was talking about something that I'd eaten. People were quite...
Come on!
What's the score?
Rafinha, get in there.
Wow, he's a machine.
Woo! Yeah, Nick, it's been mentioned that you were doing a few noises in the background, sort of AMSR, is that what it's called?
ASMR, yeah, I'm aware of it.
So maybe, I mean, people seem to like it. Maybe we could do a bit more of that at the end of the podcast, or alternatively, when I tell you about this dinner now.
How close do you want me to the mic?
Right up in it.
Yeah, go on then.
So tonight I had a surprise dinner. And if you've ever seen the show, although I realise that it may not travel outside the UK, and we've got a lot of people that listen outside of the UK. So there's a programme called Ready, Steady, Cook, where there are five ingredients. A chef is brought and they have to make a meal out of whatever they've got in their pantry, in their kitchen, and the five ingredients that you bring. So tonight, I gave my girlfriend five ingredients and she had to make me a dinner from the five ingredients. And I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow night because it's lockdown and life's got boring. So,
were they all out of a can?
I bought five things that I love and just popped them down and saw what she could do with them. Some piri piri hummus.
Oh, okay.
Some salsa.
Hmm.
Cheese twists.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah. Mac and cheese bites.
This isn't a meal.
With bacon in.
Okay, fine.
And
it's all right now, yeah.
And some pigs in blankets. Oh, that was like a little dog.
What did she make? I mean, what can you make with that?
Well, she actually put it all into like some sort of
a blender,
a big pasta bake with some cheese sauce, and it was actually delicious. Anyway, there've been a lot of new people that have joined the FPL Experiment League, so hello to you, and thanks for coming on board with that. If you want to grab the code and you want to get involved and put yourself up against us and other people in our league, you can do that. The code and the league is up on the Instagram bio and also Twitter pages as well, at FPL Experiments. So as I said, we are recording on a Wednesday night. It's nearly 9:15. So we've got Leeds Everton on right now, which is why Greg is going to be yelping quite often. We've still got Villa, West Ham, Liverpool, Brighton, both of those to come, and then Spurs, Chelsea tomorrow. Just thought I'd give you a quick update on the FPL Experiment team going into the game week. We're currently sat at 146K overall. That was going into this game week. So we had a good game week 21, thanks mostly to Harry Kane's ankles. Bamford was leaving our team, but he stayed, did well, and all was good. We rolled our transfer this week. We did deliberate long and hard about bringing in Grealish, but it was all, I don't know about you, but it felt a bit last minute, that decision.
Completely. And I think we're just almost trying to do something for the sake of doing something. So I'm glad that we withheld doing anything.
We'll get into game week picks in a second and we'll talk about our team, but I just want to quickly talk about my main takeaway from the game week that just went. My thoughts are that one defeat for a team doesn't all of a sudden mean that those players from that team aren't worth investing in. So West Ham lost to Liverpool, but before that they'd won four in a row and they were great and they were worth looking at. Leicester obviously lost to Leeds, a brilliant win for Leeds. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Maddison, as he proved tonight, was a bad pick. And I think we're so quick in fantasy football just to discard somebody that you really have to look at the form over like a few games. And so tonight, there are some teams that I'm really looking at. I've really got my eyes on West Ham, really got my eyes on Villa. I'm really looking at Leicester as well. Well, we've kind of seen already how they've performed. They've beaten Fulham. They're still the form teams. They're still the teams that I'm looking to invest in outside of course, the obvious.
I agree with a lot of what you said there. I mean, a lot earlier on the season, we were following, well, I was individually following maybe fixtures over player form. And as you just said, one defeat does not make a bad player. And I think Maddison is testament to that. Look at that tonight. He got an assist anyway for us at the weekend. He's got two assists tonight. There was a reason we brought him in. And I think sometimes it pays to be a little bit more patient and trigger happy that we have been at some points throughout the season.
Nick, what's your main takeaway from the game week just gone?
I just want to talk about how mad that game was last night. 9-0. For Southampton to allow that to happen twice in the space of 2 years is absolute madness. Like, I'm no mastermind tactician, as you guys obviously know. But like the Liverpool-Villa result earlier in the season, there's clearly a flaw in that high-press system when someone's not on it or it becomes unbalanced. But it makes for absolutely great viewing and some phenomenal FPL scores. I didn't even know a -7 for Bednarek was possible. But I just want more of it. Give me more.
Do you know what? I thought it was a real shame that that guy got sent off early on because I really wanted to know whether or not Manchester United were worth investing in over the next couple of weeks. And I also wanted to see how people like Danny Ings might get on, for example. And that game, and also the Arsenal game, actually, didn't really give us any indication about whether or not that's going to continue. Do you think, Nick, that United will continue that kind of run of form? Because it could give them the confidence boost. Maybe it was just what was simmering underneath. Because even against 10 men, you wouldn't necessarily expect a team to run away with it 9-0.
They've got a lot of options attacking-wise. So I think everyone's got Bruno, fine. Rashford looks really good. I wouldn't trust Martial. Cavani, maybe not because he doesn't always start. But at the back as well, you've got people like, and I'll talk about him later on, Luke Shaw is a really good option at the back. Like, there's clean sheet potential and attacking potential there. So I think there's a lot to be excited about in United. I always worry that they can be a bit erratic, but this season they seem to be getting that consistency they've been missing over the last few seasons.
How did Southampton forget to defend a cross last night, though? Every single goal seemed to come from just a ball out wide, just whipped into the box. Yes, they were obviously good crosses, but it was awful. Horrendous defending. And there's a mentality there that's clearly not quite right when they start getting battered 4-5 to then get that to 9 goals. That's not normal.
You just shut up shop. When it gets to 4-5, you think, we're down to 10 men. This isn't working. Let's just stick 5 at the back and just see it out. I just find it really odd.
It's weird you say that because when you're our manager of our amazing six-a-side team, No Studs Allowed, you were always attack, attack, attack. And yourself, our centre-back, would go and attack when we were 5-0 down.
That's why you guys have always been so awful down the years, essentially. Greg, what's your takeaway for this game week?
My takeaway is the FPL experiment does well when Nick Jackson actually watches live football. So, Nick,
Has Nick watched a game of football before, by the way? I mean, how many times? When I edited that podcast back last week, I was like, all right, Nick, you watched a game of football. I get it. I get it.
It's nice that Carrie let you watch a live game. I like it. It needs to happen more often.
So, yeah, when I was watching the game, yeah.
We get it, mate. We understand you watched the game.
You've got a TV, yeah.
Yeah, Greg, what were you saying?
You need to start watching more live games because it's good for the pod.
Okay,
it's good
fine.
For the team.
I can do that.
Aside from that, again, to blow Nick's trumpet, he's been so vociferous about us having a strong bench and it worked hugely in our favour this weekend.
Vociferous.
Nick's been banging on about a strong bench for a long time now and look, it worked in our favour this weekend.
Like, it is paying dividends though, because if you look at where we are in the league, like we're making progress. Like, we're getting close to that goal. It's working, lads.
Yeah, we're not doing too badly. Anyway, let's talk about game week picks. So looking ahead to the game week coming up, and actually for me, for a few fixtures afterwards, I'm looking at Burnley's defence because I think you just know what you're going to get with Burnley. We've seen it over the seasons gone by, and Nick Pope just looks obvious for me. They've got Brighton, Palace and West Brom in their next three. They could have got completely railroaded tonight against Man City, actually only conceded two, which really isn't that bad considering. So I'm looking at Pope at Burnley as the goalkeeper I'd go for this week.
Did you see his ridiculous palm out for Jesus' goal tonight?
No, because we were on a podcast.
Oh, I saw it. Anyway, dual screening. I'm really professional. That's why I'm there. I'm a broadcaster, boys. Multitasking. No, he just literally flapped at the ball, punched the ball out, and a nice, simple goal for Jesus, which you never see Nick Pope really make a mistake. So that was strange.
I've actually picked Popey as well, Ad. And I do think that from memory, I've got no stats to back this up, but last season, Burnley got battered by City in the second half of the season, and then Pope went on a mad run, and he was just racking up the points for the last third of the season. So I think he's got previous, and I think he could be a good pick to get in now. As you said, Ad, he's got great fixtures coming up. And equally, Brighton, they're having some real issues scoring goals. They've got like a top half of the table XG, but they're floundering at the bottom of the league. So I do think that Burnley are always good against these weaker sides, and I think he's a great pick as well.
Greg, how about you?
I've chosen Mendy, Chelsea's goalkeeper, away at Sheffield United. Tuchel, his first Chelsea manager to keep two clean sheets in his first two games since Benitez. So that's quite a long while that they've never been able to do that. And they've started to look like that pragmatic Chelsea that were playing at the start of the season. And I know Sheffield United have improved, but I can't really see them causing Chelsea too much of an issue.
Yeah, they really seem to have shut up shop at the back, Chelsea. Two clean sheets in two, like you said, since Tuchel's come in. Fixtures look really good as well. Sheffield United, Newcastle, Southampton. If you were going to go for a Chelsea defender, Greg, which Chelsea defender would you think about? Because he looks like he's going to go with a wing-back system. He's played Chilwell 1 week, Alonso the next. Hudson-Odoi's on the right, but obviously isn't classed as a defender in FPL. Who would you, if any, go for in that Chelsea kind of back five?
Azpilicueta for me. He's clearly come in and he's got the favour of Tuchel, so he's a nice way into that back.
It's nice that you've gone for the pronunciations as well. That's become important on the podcast. Azpilicueta. Nice.
Azpilicueta?
I've never heard you.
He spent some time living in Spain, didn't he, Greg? So he's got pronunciation down.
I lived in Spain, boys, you know.
But you don't pronounce any of the others correctly, but Azpilicueta, you do.
It was pretty retro, though, wasn't it? Seeing Alonso and Azpilicueta getting on the score sheet. Like, I felt like I'd gone back in time 2 years.
That goal from Alonso was delicious as well.
Actually, whopper. Power driver. The Everton goalkeeper tonight, by the way, is having a blinder. He's just made a triple save. Annoying.
Nick, would you invest in a Chelsea defender?
Not for me, because I just don't know who Tuchel's going to start. I'd want to see at least a couple more games to see if there's a consistent back line before doing anything.
Okay, so the other obvious option this week outside of Chelsea defence is obviously Manchester United. They've got a great run of fixtures. They've just come off the back of a clean sheet. They've kind of shown flashes of what they could do. Really good fixtures on the horizon. Everton, West Brom, Newcastle. You're fairly confident they should do fairly well over that period. Nick, who would you think about?
Can you guess?
I feel like I may have heard it before,
you
yeah.
Like we may know who this
so
is.
So I'm going to go for the man, the legend, Luke Shaw. He's been on a great run of late. He's been so dangerous from a distribution perspective. I know the Southampton game was a bit of an edge case, but he did still manage to rack up two assists and create five big chances before being taken off at half-time. With rotation looming so heavily over all of our teams at the moment, I think he seems like one of the few nailed-on players in that side. You know, and Everton aren't at their best. Like, this game aside that they're playing currently, they have the lowest XG in the league over the last four. So I really do think there could be points at both ends for sure this week. And then he has some great games coming up after.
Greg, anyone else you're considering in defence outside of Man United and Chelsea? Because at the minute, they're in short supply, clean sheets.
I'm thinking, and this option could even be a captain choice for us this week. Cresswell, away to Fulham.
A captain choice?
Captain choice. Hear me out.
No, I won't. You, I mean,
listen. No. You ask the question. You need to.
No, I'll hear you talk about the defender.
This is my platform, Adam.
It's not your platform. A captaincy choice, Cresswell.
You've lost it.
Two clean sheets in a row. West Ham have had against Fulham, both 1-0 victories. Over the last seven games, he's scored four or more points in six of them. He's averaging 5.7 points a game. Four assists. Don't really see him conceding against Fulham. I think he's probably going to get an assist.
It scares me when things like this happen because I instantly, and this is one of the things with this podcast, I instantly have to look across to Nick and think, please don't be on the same wavelength, Nick, please.
There's some things that have been said on this pod and I've let you off, Greg, but that's scraping the barrel, that, mate.
Can we at least have him as vice captain this week?
Let's have a conversation about midfielders. We've just come off of the Fantasy Football Scout podcast and I had other names written down for players that I really wanted to go for. And then all of a sudden, we went on that podcast and you know that, you just get that feeling and you're thinking to yourself, why have I not considered this person? And it was based on something that you said, Nick, initially, and then that I said afterwards. So you were talking about West Brom's defence and talking about how bad they are and how many chances they've conceded, and feel free to go back over that in a minute. Son against West Brom and then playing Man City, and he loves a goal against Man City.
I think he's a great pick. Like we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Before the City game, West Brom's defensive stats were woeful. Like they conceded twice as many shots than any other team in the league. And that was before the City game. I think even though Spurs aren't great going forward, they miss their talisman in Harry Kane. I do think that this week, like, Son could be in for some serious points.
I think Jose might have to make a fairly bold decision, though, because I think the decision might be to not start Bale. And actually, the player who looked really like he fancied it when he came on was Vinicius. And I wonder whether that might be the play. He's been fairly good in the Europa League. A bold, bold move to not start Bale and to have Bale on the bench, but he did nothing.
It was awful.
In that Brighton game, nothing.
Jose's not afraid to make those decisions, though, is he?
So aside from Nick filling your head with like a load of Sun magic, who did you actually have as your midfield choice?
I really wanted to watch Grealish tonight. You know that I'm a big fan, but I really wanted to see how he would perform tonight because he didn't perform particularly well against Southampton. He did get the assist, but he didn't do a lot in that game. No shots on target. He has been much more of a creator in the second part of the season, but the week before against Burnley, his stats were outrageous. So I really wanted to see tonight how he would perform against a really good team in West Ham because he doesn't have the easiest fixtures, but I still think he's insanely underpriced. So Grealish was the one that I really had an eye on for the team. I was actually thinking for our team, we might get rid of Rafinha for Grealish, but, Rafinha scored. How about you, Greg, in terms of midfielders?
I've gone a little bit left field again, boys. I've gone Eze against Leeds. They smashed us 4-1 last time, and I know that game early doors could have gone either way. That ridiculous offside decision from, I don't know, one of Patrick Bamford's underarm hairs. But he's got a goal and assist in the last two games. 13 points against us when he played us last time with a goal and assist. He's got a goal and assist in his last two games. I don't think it'll be as much as 4-1 this time round. But he is on a bit of form. A lot of stuff goes through him. A lot of their attacking players through Eze and back linking up with Zaha, who could potentially be injured. So that we might have to caveat this. But Leeds are always going to give you a chance. They've got two wins in a row again, so a little bit of momentum behind them. It could be a little bit of a sleeper option this week.
Haven't they switched Eze's position slightly? I must confess, I've not watched loads of Palace recently, but I'm pretty sure that I read an article where they were saying that they wanted to play more as a player that sat in behind the strikers, and that was a position that was working better for him rather than playing him out wide. He was a great player in the Championship, and he just wondered whether or not he was going to be able to replicate that in the Premier League. Roy Hodgson has been playing him up this week and speaking about him a lot in terms of getting in the frame for England.
I think it took him a while to get going and really understand how to play in the Premier League because it is vastly different to the Championship. That Palace team needed another creative outlet that could be direct, get him assists and get him in the area that when Zaha isn't on form or everything has to go through him. And I think he's been a great, great signing for them.
Nick, how about you in terms of midfielders?
I've gone for Rafinha for Leeds at home to Palace. So Rafinha's stats are excellent. We've spoken about him a lot on the pod. We love him. I think he's the best player in that price bracket in the league. He's been consistently scoring points over the last month. And Roy Hodgson actually said that Palace have six key players out and one of them could be Zaha. So I think this could be a week that Palace actually get turned over. So I'm coming at it from the other angle to Greg.
That triple Leeds is looking good for us then. I mean, do you know what though? Dallas in midfield now and clearly getting forward at will. Greg and I spoke a bit about Click, who isn't in the team. Why wasn't he part of the setup anymore? Potentially he wasn't scoring the goals. With Dallas, you always feel like there's an opportunity for him to do that. Bamford and Rafinha, and as you always say, Nick, they're very cheap. Very cheap. Not many people doing it though, triple leads. In terms of forwards, I'm looking at Callum Wilson, purely because he's playing Southampton. He had four shots against Palace. His stats have actually been good over the last 3 weeks. He's been scoring goals, but Southampton are fielding 19-year-old players. They've got injury problems at the moment, and they look like they're there for the taking. Newcastle have turned a bit of a corner. As much as, you know, that sending off had a huge bearing on that game, you shouldn't be losing games 9-0. And sometimes you just need to focus on the teams that are there to be got at. And I feel like Southampton, from an FPL perspective, are there to be got at.
Does anyone know what the next result to Southampton was last time they lost 9-0? What did they do the next game?
I feel like they drew. Like, I think they definitely got a result straight after. I could be wrong.
Greg, who are you thinking about in terms of forwards?
If he's back, which Brendan said he should be back, I've gone with Vardy against Wolves away. The poor result against Leeds aside, I think it just shows how integral he is to that Leicester team. And they scored two goals tonight. Yeah, fair enough. But I expect him to come back with a bit of a point to prove as well, because he wasn't on the best run of games. We had him on our team and captained him and he got an assist, but he wasn't really setting the world alight. I actually don't think Wolves are that great. They've been leaking goals. Like that Arsenal team, even though they had two men off, Wolves still could have drew that game 2-2. They gave them chances. They didn't obliterate them. And that was an absolute worldie aside from Moutinho. That could have easily been a 1-1. The caveat, though, of this fixture, boys, it is generally a boring 0-0. 3 0-0s in the last five. 1-0 to Leicester in November, Vardy penalty. So you have to caveat this with it probably going to be 0-0.
Nick, how about you?
So for me, I think Bamford versus Palace is the kind of the clear pick for the week. But I'm actually looking at Watkins for Villa at home to Arsenal. So Arsenal have two key defensive suspensions to deal with in Leno and Luis. They've had a solid defensive unit for a while now. So the changes here may lead to a few gaps opening up for Villa to exploit. You know, Watkins, stats-wise, second highest expected goal involvement in the league over the last four. He is partial to the odd explosion as well. So three double-digit hauls in the season so far.
What?
The bookies, I've not mentioned the bookies for a while. I thought I'd better give him a shout-out.
Here it is.
The bookies have him at 13-8 to score any time, and only Lacazette's odds are higher in that game. I think he could be a good pick.
That's the end of the game week picks. We'll talk about our team in a minute. First of all, we need to talk about differentials. Greg Shaw with the theme tune.
Differential of the week.
Differentials are players that are owned by 5% or less of players in the game and cost under £8 million. So the league table going into the last time we played this, we didn't do a podcast in the game week in between. Greg was on 68, I was on 64, Nick on 36. But obviously what we learnt last time out is that Nick isn't playing this to win. So it makes no sense. He's just picking players that aren't going to score points.
I mean, just for style points, really.
I mean, 36 does look good.
36 style points, though.
Yeah. Not in comparison to Greg's 68. Anyway, so last time out, I chose Barkley, who scored. Richarlison was Nick's pick, got 2 points against Newcastle. And Solid. Everton didn't really perform that well at all. Greg went for Mina, got 1 point. So league table now, I'm on 72 at the top. Greg's on 69. Nick is on 38, catching up.
Come on. I'm hunting you down, Greggy.
So this week, it feels like I really shouldn't do this. I couldn't believe how few people have him in their team, given how good we all think he is. So I'm going to go for Rafinha.
Oh, I'm going for him.
1.4% owned.
That's a big differential, that.
It's mad, isn't it? Because you're sometimes with your team, you're so locked into your own way of thinking and the way that you watch the game. You think, oh, everybody else is on the same.
He's a monster. And we called it, lads. And that's why I'm going for him too.
Who are you going for, Greg?
Eze, 0.9%.
I was very close to going for Eze. And I wish I had, because now I've gone for the same player as Nick. So he's guaranteed to blank. Watch Rafinha get sent off.
You could go for Harrison instead if you fancy.
Do you fancy, mate? Harrison?
No, I'm sticking to my guns, Rafinha.
Picks haven't done you very well this season. Maybe it is time that you jump off. Maybe it would be better.
Okay, I'll go for Harrison instead then.
This could be how you actually rise up through the table, mate. Just that finger in the air.
Harrison, I've always liked him. Great guy.
I'll put Harrison with like a little asterisk next to your name.
If Rafinha goes off, though, I'm going to be absolutely fuming.
Right, let's talk about our transfers for the FPL experiment team. So we rolled a transfer last time out. So I guess the inclination here is to get completely carried away and do something like have a 4-point hit. But our team currently looks like this. Martinez in goal. At the back, we've got Robertson, Cancelo, Cresswell, Salah, Gundogan, Fernandes, Rafinha and Maddison in the middle, Antonio and Bamford up front, and then we've got Dallas, Soufal and Davis on the bench. So thinking about that team, Greg, what moves are you thinking about making?
My original four was to remove Robertson, because I think he's an expensive waste of space at the moment for us, and bring in a Chelsea defender. But having listened to Nick, and I'll use my favourite phrase, wax lyrical about him tonight.
I was really pleased that you got that in there on the Fantasy Football Scout podcast. It's like I can't have a conversation with you now without you saying the word wax lyrical.
It's a phrase I can't get out of my head. It's really bloody annoying. Anyway, I think we should actually do Robertson to Shaw. I mean, it makes sense on so many levels. I don't want Robertson in my team at the moment, and it enables us to be a little bit more mobile the next few weeks, where there might be some double game weeks where we probably want to do a couple of transfers to get a few of those players in.
He's so cheap as well. I mean, that's the same as me, Greg. Like I like the Chelsea defence, but I don't think there's enough consistency in that back line. And sure, for all the reasons I said earlier, like I think he could be a really good pick for the next three or four games.
Yeah, I think provided that the noises coming out of the Manchester United camp are good and that he's going to be fit. Yeah, let's go for Luke Shaw, because Robertson isn't doing anything in our team. He is expensive. Next two fixtures, I don't necessarily want to pick him. And I think Shaw does offer attacking capabilities. And that does give us a bit of additional money to spend elsewhere. I think even if he doesn't play the next game, we have got enough of a bench that I wouldn't be too concerned, but then he would be in for the couple of fixtures afterwards, which is great. So I'm not even that concerned if he is a rotation risk.
And I was looking at our team earlier. That'll just be a cool 10 million in the bank. 10 million to transfers for next week. I mean, that is ridiculous.
I don't think I've ever been in a situation playing fantasy football where I've had an additional 10 million in the bank.
No, I mean, that is ludicrous.
And been happy with your team as well that week.
So are there any other transfers that are potentially on your mind? Yes, 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 there are. Me. So I am thinking a lot right now about Son. Do you know what's really weird? I can't fit him into that midfield. Salah, Gundogan, Fernandes, Rafinha, Maddison. Who goes?
There's too many good midfielders there. I think, weirdly, the one that I would consider dropping would be Gundogan. He'd be the only one I'd be willing to chop. And that is ahead of Rafinha as well. I don't think we need to make a move there.
Do you think we could potentially do an upgrade on Gundogan to Sterling?
We talked about it last week when we said, actually, Sterling's stats over the last sort of 6-7 game weeks have been very good. But similarly, so has Gundogan's. And again, Gundogan returned tonight with another assist.
The fixtures aren't there, though, for City, are they? I wouldn't say.
It's Man City. I wouldn't get too worried about fixtures. This is the best team in the league.
There is one massive positive to this. You said this last week, Greg. Sterling is only owned by like 11% of teams, which is ludicrous. So in my own personal team, that's why I've tried to keep hold of him and captain him this week, because I feel like that will give you a jump. So now you've said that, Ad, I really like it. And we should, you know, we shouldn't have 10 mil in the bank. That means we're not using our budget to maximum effect.
The only thing is, I didn't watch a lot of the City Burnley game tonight because we were on another podcast. So I couldn't tell you, and I'd need to watch back to have a look what positions Gundogan took up and also what positions Sterling took up, who had the most shots. I've not looked at the stats.
So I was dual screening a little bit, guilty. Sterling had a couple of one-on-one misses and Gundogan was always there or thereabouts. And a lot of the attacking moves, either putting that final ball in or actually having shots himself. Like,
he's still up there. He's still up in those positions that...
I said to you, if KDB had been returning the figures that Gundogan had over the last 8 game weeks, we wouldn't even be entertaining the idea of switching them out.
We don't have to make a transfer. We could take one transfer, then we've got two again next week. But I guess what I'm getting at, my question is there anyone that we don't have in the team that you would really like in the team? Because we've got the option to do it. We've got the money. and we could have anyone in the team. And if there is somebody who is number one in, or number two or number three, let's say, in your pecking order, because maybe Salah's number one, but if there's somebody who's right up there in your pecking order that we don't have in the team, we could do it, and there's no reason why we shouldn't.
I would say Vardy, but then you'd have to drop one of our midfielders to get him in. And I actually want to start every single one of those midfielders next game week.
If we had a wild card, I don't think I'd change much. I think I would, it sounds horrible, but I'd just get in Luke Shaw.
So that'd be a waste of a wild card, that.
It really would, especially when you've got two frees in the bank.
So I think this is what I'm going to caveat this conversation with. Look, we'll bring in Luke Shaw for Robertson. We've all agreed that that should happen, provided that he's fit. But we've done a couple of podcasts tonight. We've not watched as much football as we normally would. So if tomorrow morning you wake up and you've had a dream about a player, and providing that you think I'd want to hear that,
okay, fine.
Then, you know, just message it and maybe we make another change. But as it stands, let's just go for one transfer. You know, we have got a couple of double game weeks on the horizon. Maybe it's good for us to have a couple in the bank so, you know, we're able to make that pivot and make that move quite quickly. Nick, who are you thinking about in terms of captain this week?
The only one that stood out for me this week was Fernandes for United versus Everton. He continues to be the best midfielder in the game, according to the stats. And in that game versus Southampton, it got to, I think it was 4 or 5-0. And I was actually thinking he's not going to get any points here. But he delivered again in that second half. He's got the highest expected goal involvement by some margin of all midfielders in the game. He's on pens, most shots taken of all midfielders in the game over the last four. I think it's a tough week to pick captain, but I think he is the only real standout option for me.
I'd only want Fernandes if Pogba's not playing alongside him. But and then you're not going to know that until obviously the team sheet's announced. I think it's a bit of a risk. I don't think his stats are... I think Big Man Bakar did a good thread recently about the stats of them two playing together, and his productivity from an FPL perspective greatly diminishes when he's playing alongside Pogba.
Yeah, I read that thread actually. I thought it was really interesting. But who do you go for instead then, Greg?
Cresswell.
You've already said that you're an absolute helmet for going for Cresswell.
And the non-helmet decision I actually had down in my notes, Antonio was my captain choice this week. Again, I wanted to caveat that with how well he did against Villa and that game, which is still midway through at the moment.
Is it still 0-0 that game?
Yeah, half-time 0-0.
I definitely think there's an opportunity to go for a slightly rogue pick in terms of captaincy. But then that does also fly in the face of what I said a couple of weeks ago, where we really had to do the research around who's going to go in as captain. And realistically, the only person that's done a significant amount of research around captaincy is Nick. So we kind of have to go with what Nick's saying, because that is the only thing that makes sense.
I would say, though, that one of the things I did say was we really need to research who our captains are playing.
Yeah.
And Everton, although they've not been scoring many goals, they're not that bad defensively. And Man United-Everton doesn't strike me as a high-scoring game. That is the only thing that causes concern from my side. But it's more the fact that I don't see any other options. Like, if we're looking at it on paper, we should be going for a Spurs player because West Brom are horrendous, but we don't have any Spurs players.
Would you be tempted with either, Nick? Again, we might need to kind of dig into the stats on their defences. Antonio against Fulham, or Bamford against Palace, given that you said Palace have got loads of players out as well?
Bamford would be my other choice. If we were going to go Fernandes, I'd go Bamford Vice. I could definitely be swayed on Bamford. I think he could be a great pick, but I'd be leaning on Greg there because he's actually been watching him game in, game out.
He's got the assist for Rafinha's goal tonight. He's hit the bar with a header tonight. He scored against them last time we played him, and obviously had that ridiculous goal disallowed as well when we played against them last. So it is a shout. I don't think... Come on! Oh. I don't think the choice I'd go with would be Bamford this week.
The more I look at it, I'm torn between Fernandes and Bamford. I agree with you, Nick. I think that result for United against Everton, it could quite easily be a tight game. Whereas Leeds is never a tight game.
I'd be happy with both. But I think Bamford would be a very rogue pick. In the position we're in, just thinking of this a bit more broadly now, most people are going to go Fernandes. We're close to that 50K. If we can keep on trucking and keep picking, you know, the right people, we can keep climbing. I think Bamford is too risky for this stage of the season.
Yeah, everybody's going to go Fernandes. We've got differential players in the likes of Rafinha, and there are others in there that not everyone has. So yeah, we don't necessarily need to go that differential on captain. Yeah, let's go Fernandes.
I'm happy with that.
Nice.
So is there anything else either of you would like to bring to the podcast as we draw to a conclusion?
I mean, I know we're not doing it anymore, but I'm really missing the 50 cent stuff. That was, for me, fantastic end to the pod.
Maybe, you know, I need to bring something new.
Maybe just do another rogue celebrity biography. That'd be a nice feature. Just someone a bit different.
Okay. Well, I'll see if there's any kind of vibe for it, Nick. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to post the team on our Twitter page, on our Instagram page as well, at FPL Experiments. It's really good to be speaking to a lot of people about how their teams are going and also what they're thinking of the podcast. So great to hear from you, and thanks for reaching out and thanks for having a conversation with us. Maybe, Nick, you could just close the podcast out with a bit of some of those AMSR noises just to comfort people.
Butter. Was it too much? You want me to do something else?
No, I loved it. Thanks for listening to the podcast.